Yeah, you know, but come on. That's not really camping. You know, I mean, here are these people, they go out with their big campers or fifth wheels, and they bring their televisions and their microwaves and their showers, and, you know, that's not camping. Paul never did that, you know. He was, by the way, he was a tent maker, so he knew all about tents. So that's what he talked about. And what he's wanting to say is that our life now, as you know, as we live it, it's like living in a tent. And of course, he's talking about the fact that he, as a cracked pot, is always in danger of falling apart. But, you know, he ends this section in chapter 4 by saying in verse 14, because of all the sufferings that I experience, like living in the tent, therefore, and that's a very important word in the New Testament because it connects what has gone before to what is to follow. Even though I am experiencing all this suffering, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Outwardly we are wasting away. I think most of you know that I have cancer. So my body, you know, is wasting away. But you want to know something? So is yours. You may not be sick, but at age 20, you're already beginning to lose brain cells. And at age 30, your muscles already become less than you would like them to be. And not all the exercise equipment and the potions and the lotions and the vitamins and, you know, all the things that they try to sell us are not going to help us in the end. Because all our bodies are wasting away. My brothers and sisters, that is a fact of life. And I know when you're 19, 20, you don't believe that. I didn't believe that when I was 19 or 20. But now that I'm 76, I know it. I know it. And I think many of you here would agree with that. Outwardly, we are wasting away. I heard on PBS the other day that, just think of this. On and inside our bodies, we have more germs and bacteria and, you know, all those funny little creatures that make us sick or so on. We have more of those in and on our body than there are stars in the universe. That was totally astonishing to me. And all of that, it deteriorates us. We become decrepit. We become wrecks. You know? I got to use that walker if I want to get around anywhere because my legs will no longer carry me the way I would like. And then, you know, this is almost kind of funny. In verse 17, he says, for our light and momentary troubles. Our light and momentary troubles. Yeah. Sickness, cancer, car accidents and what, you know, whatever you can think of. Those are light and momentary troubles. And why and how in the world can the Apostle Paul say that? Because he knows that even as our bodies are deteriorating, inwardly we are being renewed. Now, well, you know, when I look at you, when you look at me, you know, we can't see that. I mean, you know, when you look at family photos, and you know, when people are 5 years old and when they're and then when they're 50, they still look the same, but a lot of change has happened. This deterioration has set in and it is beginning to show. But our renewal, that is the resurrection life that God is preparing for us, well, we don't see that, at least not in this thing called my body. But he said that the renewal of our life, being clothed with resurrection life, is achieving for us an eternal weight of glory. Now, the word glory in Hebrew is very closely related to the word for being heavy. You know, nobody in North America wants to be heavy. You know, we all want to lose weight. Isn't that so? You know, you can say yes or no. If I ask you a question, that's okay. We have to be slim and trim and look beautiful, etc. And I guess that's okay. But it's telling that Paul here speaks about people, we've got to get heavy. Heavy with the glory of God. The glory of God. You know, we always think of the glory of God in, you know, in sunsets and flowers and green grass and birds singing and flowers growing. And that is indeed and in fact a wondrous representation of the glory of God. But God, by His Holy Spirit, is busy even as we are becoming more and more decrepit, and even as more and more of us will be walking with canes and with walkers, you know, if we hang around long enough, at the same time, our inner self is being renewed. It is made new. So he says, so that death is swallowed up by life. And we usually think of this the other way around, you know, that death swallows everything. You know, there was this horrible story in the news the other day that in Indonesia, a 7-foot python swallowed a woman whole, you know, and of course, you know, she died. The snake swallowed her. But now Paul gives us the picture that death, which, you know, all of us, well, I guess we all wonder about it. Maybe some of us really fear death. Maybe some of us don't. But the fact is, it is so incredibly mysterious that we know it's not good. It's and we all grieve, you know, when loved ones, you know, die and so on. But now here is the picture. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up by life, by life, by eternal life. And that is why Paul says, you know, therefore, we do not lose hope. Yes, I am like a cracked pot, and I suffer, and I've been beaten with lashes, you know, 5 times, and I've been hit with sticks, I've been shipwrecked, I've suffered this and that and a host of other things. But in the end, I know that my spirit is being renewed, because in Christ I already have eternal life. And so he goes on in chapter 5, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. The tent that we live in is going to be destroyed, or, you know, we can in a sense say it's going to be packed up and it will no longer be our place. We're going to have to do without it at some point. And that is the moment of our death. And many of you here, I suspect, you know, most of us here have experienced the loss of a loved one. And we know what that does to us. But he says, remember, even though that has happened, when the tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in the heavens. A tent is temporary. You want to live in it only for, well, a week or two. I remember when we lived in Saskatchewan, we went camping for 4 weeks once, you know, and good grief. And all we did was eat rice and fish, like pike that I caught, full of bones. And boy, when I got back on the pulpit, I said, you know, I can really understand why the children of Israel grumbled when they had to camp out in the desert, you know, for 40 years. It wasn't 2 weeks or a month. It was 40 years. They were looking, as their father Abraham, they were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And Paul says, we are looking for our heavenly dwelling. That is our eternal home. And then he kind of mixes metaphors. He says, you know, we want to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. We don't want to be unclothed. We don't want to be found naked. We don't want to be found without some kind of covering. But when the tent is destroyed, we have this building from God, and it is solid, it has a foundation, and it will give us true, everlasting life, and it will be solid, and we will be forever in the presence of God, and all things will be well. No more crying there. No more suffering there. No more cancer there. No more war, sickness, and disease. It will all be gone, because death has been swallowed up by life. You see, that's what we need to look at. We tend to look at what is seen. We see the deterioration of our bodies, and we feel in our limbs, our legs and hands and the other parts of the body, that it's getting tougher. You know, that's what we focus on, and that's understandable. But what we need to think about even more than that is, we are being renewed day by day, And that renewal will achieve for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all the suffering that we experience in this life. And if you want to read more about it when you get home, read the latter part of Romans chapter 8, verse 18 and following, you know. So, camping, you know, it's okay. It's okay. But we all want to go home again at a certain point. And living in this body is okay. Well, in a, you know, in a sense, no, not in a sense. It's more than okay. I mean, it is a wonderful thing to live in God's wonderful world. But we know that our earthly tent is being destroyed. And we are looking forward to the time when our Lord Jesus will come again. You know, I think about that a lot lately. He's going to come again. And I mean, it's so unimaginable, and it's something that we cannot wrap our minds around. I think pretty soon, you know, we're going to sing "When We All Get to Heaven." And everybody wants to go to heaven, but none of us has any clue, you know, what that's like. You know, people write books about it, but I think they really don't know what they're talking about because they haven't been there. They haven't been there. So they don't know. None of us knows. Except to say, as you know, Paul says here, when we are in the body, we are away from the Lord. That is, we are not fully in His presence. But when we are absent from the body, then we are at home with the Lord. So forget about, you know, speculation about death and speculation about heaven. Even before I got sick, you know, I like to read obituaries. And it's really interesting how people get very religious, you know, at the time of death. Most people believe in an afterlife, you know. George is gone to be with his wife, and he'll enjoy playing golf again, and or go fishing, or stuff like that. People write that in obituaries, because all people have this longing, this desire. There's got to be something more than what we experience now. Well, yeah, but it's right here in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. Therefore, we do not lose heart. My brother and sister, if you are sick or if you have troubles in your life, family problems, problems with spouses or children or parents or teachers or people at work. That's part of living in this broken, sinful world. But let's not look at that only. Let us also look at the fact that daily we are being renewed. And the Holy Spirit has already been given to us as a down payment on the fullness of our salvation. Soon and very soon, you and I are going to see the King as Isaiah saw the Lord of glory, you know, when he was called to be a prophet. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And then, as we read in Revelation 21, I saw, says John, a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the new Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down, notice, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men and women and children, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." Can you imagine God plucking you up and setting you on His knee and reaching for His Kleenex box and wiping the tears from your eyes and yours and mine and everybody? You know, that is so astonishing. But that's what's going to happen. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because the old order of things has passed away. The new order is here. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Notice the tense of that verb. God doesn't say, "I will make all things." No, "I am making everything new," and that's happening right now. And write this down, because these words are trustworthy and true. And with the truth of that word, and with the love of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I can walk into a new week with our cancer, with our broken bones, our sickness, and our troubles. We can know that all things will be well, because God has said so. He said so. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so grateful that You, as Creator and Redeemer of the world, assure us that our lives are not our own, but that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who has loved us and who gave Himself up for us. Father, may we always love You. May Your Holy Spirit always be within us and upon us, so that we will truly live as Your people. May we let our light shine in this dark world. May people that we are in contact with see the truth of the gospel living in us and shining from within us. And whether we are sick or well, whether we are young or old, may we always bring glory to Jesus and show Your love to the world. We pray in the name of our Lord. Amen. We are going to sing hymn number 399, "Jesus Lives and So Do We."